Oh, well, basically, it kind of happened like this. Like, Diamond, now this is Mudd from 5-0 speaking, and it basically started from our interpretation of what hip-hop was. You know what
okay.
I mean? As far as being from Detroit, because we saw the East Coast influence, we saw the West Coast influence, we saw a little bit of the Southern influence, but this is like dated maybe to early 90s, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So when we started getting our feet wet, and we had a DJ that was from New York, so basically we learned hip-hop on some 1-2-1-2 straight off the, you know, turntables. Like we would grab the generator, go to the park, grab the equipment, the turntable, all of that, plug in, you know what I mean, and just go. So, you know, learning how to rap and rhyme, it was really dope because we would go record to record on some freestyle tips, you know what I mean? There was not too many written rhymes then, you know what I mean? Like, we really wasn't song structuring, we just was pretty much just getting the knack for MCing. And learning that in that kind of way, in that shape and fashion, that just kind of like turned us into, you know, some really thoroughbred, cold-blooded MCs. And then, let's see, Thyme stayed around the corner from me. I knew Proof from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thyme and Proof both had the same DJ. So collectively, sooner or later, we all came together. There was little music scenes going on at the time. You had the Rhythm Kitchen. It's like way before the hip-hop shop. So
this is like,
all right, you saw the movie 8 Mile, right?
Right.
A lot of that movie was propaganda as far as Hollywood, as far as the story is told.
Wow, wait.
Hold on.
You gotta say that again. You're telling me 8 Mile was propaganda.
Listen. You got Eminem being Bunny Rabbit, right?
Yeah.
Right? You got him being Bunny Rabbit. You got Mekhi Phifer playing Proof.
Hello?
Right?
Sorry, you broke up right there. You got, repeat that.
You got Mekhi Phifer playing Proof, right?
Right.
And then you got the three other friends, right?
Right.
The three other friends was me, Mudd, and DJ Head.
Wow.
They didn't even talk to us about it. Like, how you going?
Wait. They didn't talk to you guys about it?
We was there.
We got wrote out the script. Like niggas rewrote the gospels and shit. Niggas who went there. You know what I mean? It's the same propaganda. It's like, you got to go back and find the real gospels of people who were there, who witnessed the miracles or whatever, the battles, or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you know, metaphor.
Wow.
And Eminem's rise in that arena was not that dramatic.
Wow.
Like, huh? Like, all right, whatever. It's a movie. Okay.
It's a movie. I'm going to stomach it. You know what I mean? But in reality, come on, man. I mean, they took the livest parts of the movie and put nine niggas out the movie, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, you got to look at it like this. What they did with that movie, they turned M into like an icon, right?
Right.
Oh, that's really good.
Listen, but the reality is, Proof ran that whole thing. Proof ran the whole thing. M was like a peon in that compared to him.
Wow. Yeah. I'm still like 2 minutes ago when you guys were telling me that they did not get in touch with you at all about this movie.
Listen, I never even watched it. I saw pieces of it, like, so that's got to be me and Mudd right there.
It's like me, Mudd. It's a combination of, like, me, Mudd, Champ Town. Because you got to remember, Champ Town is who put...
Champ Town, yep, Champ Town.
Who put him on, like, taught him the funny shit, the jokes. Like, Champ Town's the king of the jokes. And he was, like, the first dude out of all of us who had a deal. So, you know, him, Esham, and, you know... Eshawn B-Rocks for Champ Town, so, you know, it's just a real small circle. And then Kid Rock knows Champ Town, so he was with the Beast crew. We all from the East Side, you know what I mean? So everybody's just kind of like running neck and neck, you know what I mean? All rapping, you know, everybody got their different styles and shit, but it's more so, you know, we were more on a aggressive and tactical type rap tip, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Champ was more funny, you know. Bob was playing with the rock and shit. So, I mean, Kid Rock was playing with the, you know, the Rock thing, trying to bring that, mesh that thing together. So, basically, all you had was, like, for instance, there was no, like, big battles like that happening at the shelter. You had battles going on, but it was more so freestyle, get up there, do your thing, rap and spit. So this is the place where we would go, basically, to sharpen our swords. You know what I mean? Just to learn, stay sharp. It was our scene. It was our network. And it was more so of, you know, cats got booed. Like, in that movie, M didn't choke. I mean, in the reality, M didn't choke. It was more of he got booed severely.
What, he got booed severely?
Yeah, severely.
Wow.
You want to know why?
Yes. I'm here. I'm in awe, man. Seriously. Speechless.
What? I mean, you really want to know why?
Yeah, I really want to know why.
Because he was wet.
Oh.
So what he did, and he took it to heart. He went home, got his practice game on, and then came back and then redeemed himself with a song called Fuck That Hunky.
Real
talk. Fuck That Hunky. He knows it. It's like real shit. Let me hear you say fuck that hunky. And the crowd will go, fuck that hunky. That was his clip to try to get him not to boom. You know what I mean? It was one of them.
And it worked.
What? It worked. I mean, not then. It didn't work then. You got to remember.
Oh, it didn't work then.
Troy, no, hell no. You got to wait till we get to the hip-hop shop till he starts to really kind of redeeming himself. So that was just the shelter that would take place on Monday. Then, as time went on, the hip-hop shop opened up. So as the hip-hop shop opened up, that's when shit became a little bit more serious because it wasn't just us hip-hoppers. It was like anybody could walk in. You know what I mean? On the spot, you had East Side, West Side, anywhere all around Detroit, you know, close to the suburbs, because the hip-hop shop was on 7 Mile, and a mile north is the notorious, so-called, the famous, infamous, whatever, 8 Mile, and then across that, you have a whole other city, depending on what side of town you're on, or different cities, suburbs, if you will. So, you know, this was like the central place, the hip-hop shop, for hip-hop in that 313 universe. So as that encompassed, you know, more battles, you know, M became more of a battler. We all battled. Sakari was there. He was a B-boy then. This is before he started DJ. And Don and myself worked there, as well as Proof. And it was just cruel. Like, M would come through every now and then. You know what I mean? It wasn't like he was on the scene major. He was mostly really scared of black people. You know what I mean? So he didn't come around much. In reality. And then, like, Champ would come through, Esham, all these different cats. We built this scene at the hip-hop shop. And Maurice, it was a clothing store. And it was owned by Maurice Malone and Jerome Mongo. And, I mean, we just basically networked it and made it our little scene, like, club, during the day, though. And on Saturdays, every Saturday, we would have open mic from 4 to 6. So this is, like, the religious aspect of MCing, where all the MCs came together every Saturday between 4 to 6. I'm talking like it's a small clothing store, a little boutique. You got like 100, 200 people sometimes packed in and out of it. Like it was close. Like it was explosive. And then
those are the battles from 8 Mile.
Yeah, those are the real battles.
Yeah, those were the real battles took place.
The reason it wasn't in the movie is because Maurice wouldn't clear usage of the shop for the movie. He wouldn't clear the rights. So then they moved it to St. Andrews and made the shelter the place where it happened. But that never happened.
Yeah, that never happened.
Propaganda bullshit.
It happened at the shop on 7 Mile every Saturday, 4 to 6, religiously.
Religiously. Tabernacle. And so from that, basically, it just turned our scene into a bigger scene. More clubs started opening up. You know, cats started putting out, like, in 96, we put out, pretty much from our peer group, the first independent release, which was called Yesteryears from 5 Elements. And it was produced by Jay Dilla, because, of course, Jay Dilla's a childhood friend of ours. We all from the East Side. We all from 7 Mile. And Dilla was our producer. And this is like before Slum Village put out the Fantastic Volume 1.
Proof is in the group.
Yep. And
it was me, Mud Proof, and Dilla did all the beats. Dilla single-handedly probably produced, in production, when you're talking about the most production, it's got to be SV, Fat Cat, then us. As far as the most Dilla production ever done for groups.
In existence. In existence. And we have masters to prove it. So here
and
it is,
we got Dilla and Poof all but your phone.
Oh yeah, so that's why.
So it's like if anybody's official in the D, it's us.